Hi, this is Pam Brown.
I'm Ann Iver Stamness, and this is Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. This week, our program continues an examination of losing our parents in later life.
Our guest today is Joanne Shook, who lost both parents in the last few years. Her father was 89 and her mother was 90. Welcome back to the program, Joanne.
Hi, Pam. Thanks for having me.
In our youth, we are involved in our own trajectory, as contrasted with later life when we begin to take stock of our early developmental years and maybe see our parents differently. How does your experience relate to this, given the considerable time you spent with your parents in their last years?
My parents were older when I was born, so my dad was 40 years old and my mom was 37. And I do have one older sister who's 4 years older than I am. And as I grew up, I slowly heard stories about how much effort they put into having my sister and I, and that my mom had 3 miscarriages before I was born. As a child, growing up, you know, when I was 10 years old, my dad was 50. So there was a little bit of a different relationship, I think, being the child of older parents. And the gap in our ages was such that my parents were already talking about and thinking about their senior years when I was a very young child. Maybe it's, you know, kind of that grim Slavic point of view, but they were saying things like, you know, we won't be here forever. You know, we're going to die. Not child abuse level, but Slavic parent level. So there was always a kind of a consciousness that there was a mortality involved. We lived together. I took care of them at the end of their life. It was an entirely different relationship, and it really gave me a chance to see them from the point of view as an adult and to see who they were as people and to recognize that after I grew up and left home, they had another whole section of life that they lived. It was really interesting when we all moved in together. My mom had dementia and memory loss, and my dad had been her caregiver, and then he got sick, so he couldn't do it alone anymore. And that's why they moved up here and moved in with me. The first weeks we were living together again, it was like being a teenager. There was that same relationship that we had had washing dishes and being in the same house together and interacting with each other. And it's amazing how fast your voice can hit that whiny tone when you're with your parents, no matter what age it is. My dad died after a year and a half living with me. You know, it's a mixed feeling because his pain and suffering is over. You know, you miss that relationship. But my father and I also had kind of a difficult relationship. So there was a regret. I miss not having those years where we would have been closer together and closer to life stages together. When they moved in with me, I think I was 50 years old. What I know at 60, if they were still around, I would be asking them different questions. So there's a sense of loss of a whole lot of information that I wasn't mature enough to ask yet.
So those unanswered questions, how we come to know our parents after they die, what has that meant for you?
The other aspect of my parents dying, and I was also taking care of my aunt who was in her 80s at the same time, they were the entire senior generation. And my sister and I don't have any kids. There are no nieces and nephews. When they died, that level of family, everybody was gone. As my dad was approaching death, he would say things to me that he had never said before. He would share things that had worried him. The same thing happened with my aunt. Things that, you know, maybe they'd been holding on to for 60, 70, 80 years. Things from childhood. And so there was also the sense of being the last witness. It's a profound thing to be in that relationship and for him to look at me enough as an adult to share that. Being the one who has to be present at the deaths, and I was present for all 3 deaths, and then dealing with the funeral homes, and then, you know, there's something about driving to go pick up your mom's ashes. Mm-hmm. That's just, you know, it's just a hard, hard thing. So I tell people that when I was taking care of my folks and after everybody died, it felt like I was split off from myself. Like if I would be in a social situation like this, I didn't feel normal. And I didn't know how to respond. I didn't know what to say. It felt like whoever I was no longer sitting in the house where I live. Like they were really separated. And over the years after the deaths, I felt like those parts of me came together again. And I feel more normal and more in my body than I did during the time recovering. After they died, it was hard to go out and talk to people. I just didn't have it in me.
You lost both of your parents in your 50s. What did you bring to these losses at that stage of your life that you wouldn't have been able to bring to those losses if you'd lost your parents when you were younger?
I think that I got to know my parents as adult people when I was an adult and they were an adult, and I could kind of look at them for who they were and recognize what things they brought to the table of our relationship and what things I was bringing and have more of a sense of it. It's kind of mixed up because, you know, the exhaustion of being a caregiver for 5 years, when they died, I almost couldn't feel it. And honestly, I couldn't cry for like 2 years. So it did take a while to actually start feeling the loss on a emotional level. The first sense I had about losing my parents was, it's like the roof over your head is gone. Wherever they are, no matter what your relationship, if you have parents, there is some form of roof over your head. And when they died, I felt like the roof was gone. And then it's like I had to be my own roof. I would say one aspect of them going with my folks, because I wasn't the easiest or the expected daughter, you know, after they tried so hard to have kids, I don't think they quite planned for somebody like me. I was a little bit off. As much as they wanted me to be a certain type of daughter, I was not that type of daughter. So the feeling of disappointing them on some level was always there when they were alive. And when they died, there was a sense that I didn't have to be ashamed anymore of not coming up to the expectations of what they wanted from that. There was a form of lightening. And, you know, being 50 and having lived some life and experienced some things, it's amazing the complexity of feelings after you lose your folks.
You said earlier that you felt like you might not have been the daughter that your parents would have planned perhaps to have had, but it sounds like they got the daughter that they needed, who took care of them at the end of their lives and did indeed serve, as you so poetically put it, as their last witness. Thank you, Joanne, so much for being here with us today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to talk about this. And I want to thank you guys for the work you do in bringing these conversations to the public. You really are a gem in the community.
That's all the time we have for today's show. Annie is our editor and engineer.
Tune in next Thursday to Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. For more information, past shows, and the link to our podcasts, email, and Facebook group, go to our website at chronologicallygifted.org.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Annie. Thanks so much for listening.
We'll be here next week, and we hope you will be too.